Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Mardi Gras is coming, and out of New Orleans, with us tonight, the Soul Rebels. Hip-hop babies who came up as drum majors, rhythm and brass, in the city of all-night parties, parades, and marching bands. Now, the Soul Rebels have rolled it all together in a sound the Village Voice calls the missing link between Louis Armstrong and Public Enemy, the funk and jazz of New Orleans, with a hip-hop zing that cannot hide the gumbo underneath and doesn't want to. When Mardi Gras hits New Orleans next week with Fat Tuesday, they'll be there with their fusion of brass and scratch. But tonight, they're with us this hour, On Point, a celebration of New Orleans brass and drums, funk and hip-hop with the Soul Rebels. Joining me now from New Orleans is Lumar, Big Cheeky LeBlanc, and Derek Oops Moss, founding members of the Soul Rebels. Their new album is Revolution. Mr. LeBlanc, thanks for being with us tonight.
Oh, yes. How you doing? How you doing, Tom?
We're great. And Derek Moss, thank you very much for being with us as well.
Thank you. It's our pleasure.
We're going to listen to a lot of this album tonight. It's this wonderful fusion of all that brass tradition you've got there, all the New Orleans sound going on, and hip-hop on top. Help us explain where this came from, where you came from. Why are you guys playing this fusion? What's the background? Lamar?
Yeah, well, basically, the Soul Rebels came out of the vine of the New Orleans brass band tradition. We started back in about 1990, Derek.
91
to be exact. Mm-hmm. Derek and myself were straight out of college. I mean, fresh from the collegiate circuit.
Right.
And we still had that itch, you know, we still had that vibe that we wanted to still play music. So some friends of ours, Emmanuel Stein.
And Mervin Campbell.
Yeah, Merv. Mm-hmm. They were doing something with Olympia Brass Band. Olympia Brass Band, it has a storied history. They are the brainchild of Harold Duke Dejean here in New Orleans. And basically they like to keep the tradition going on strong, so they started a band called the Young Olympia Brass Band.
So this was the young version of the Big Olympian Brass Band. You guys were right out of college and you were in it.
Right. We were fortunate enough to get right on in due to our linkage with our friends Merv and Emmanuel Stein. They were also founding members of Soul Rebels, but as the years went on, they got out of the organization.
Now talk to us about that tradition that you came out of. I mean, I know how important parading and big marching bands and brass is. Derek Moss, you were drum major at Southern University. That's a big deal at Southern University.
Yes, it was. That happened to me as a freshman, as a matter of fact. And it's a real big thing because Southern is considered the best band in the land.
And the drum major is the man. You're out front. You set the beat.
The man, all out on my own. Yeah, it changed my life.
I guess it must have taken you right in. And Lamar LeBlanc, you were at St. Augustine High School's the famous Marching 100 and went on down to Texas Southern University with a music scholarship. Were you parading in college?
Yeah, we did a few parades out in Houston, Texas. But as you know and everyone is aware of here in New Orleans, St. Augustine is a big parade band. They're a famous group for a high school band out of New Orleans. And at Texas Southern, we did some marching, but mostly we were a show band, just at Southern University. We were rivals in college, Derek and myself. I mean, we went at each other. It was good competition with good sportsmanship, but basically we were rivals. You know,
the big thing. Right. There's the brass and there's the parade tradition. Where does hip-hop come in?
Oh, well, basically, we were born into hip-hop in our daily lives. As you know, hip-hop music now has permeated mainstream society, but back then it was still kind of a more or less neighborhood culture thing that did have Run DMC and other big acts out of New York, but we were on that music when we first heard it as young children, when we heard Rapper's Delight and things like that. So the hip-hop basically was a part of our upbringing, and the marching band happened to be part of our educational experience through school. So we kind of merged the two together when we got this idea to do the Soul Rebels.
I want to keep hearing this music. We're talking tonight with Lamar LeBlanc and Derek Moss from the Soul Rebels. Here from their new album, Revolution, is Funky Rebel 3. Hey, there, you've got the shaking the booty. It's going to get a lot more hip hop before we're finished listening to you tonight. But there's the beginning. How was it? How is it being received in New Orleans when you began to take that great tradition and roll it forward?
It was rough at first. We had people not understanding where we were coming from. What we did was learn the tradition. And then we put our own efforts into the tradition and use our experience from the college marching bands, because we played all of these hip-hop songs in the marching bands, and we had to arrange them for horns.
Right.
So we took that experience of arranging music for horns and put it towards the traditional brass band, and then we start getting into the hip-hop and the funk and the pop songs, and we just ran with it.
And it came right on in. Lamar LeBlanc, it was one of the great Neville brothers who gave you your name, the Soul Rebels, after the Bob Marley song. Why? How?
Well, actually, Cyril Neville. Yeah, you're talking about Cyril.
Mm-hmm.
We were also coming out of this mentality of merging hip-hop and brass band. There was a group called Def Generation. Derek Moss was also a member of that group.
With the Young Nevilles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were the children of the Neville brothers.
Okay.
And they had made an attempt, I would have to say, a good effort at trying to merge second-line music
with funk.
With funk.
Or pop.
Now, second-line, we're going to have to talk about that. That's the tradition that comes out of the New Orleans funeral, the music after the kind of serious church music comes the second line music, where you cut up.
Right, right, where you cut up and you let it all hang out on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free party for the people, but the bands get paid to perform by the social aid and pleasure clubs who are here in New Orleans, but it's a free party for the community and for the people.
And the Young Nevilles were bridging a lot of this. They heard you, and how did they get to Soul Rebels?
Well, Cyril, being that Derek and Emmanuel and Merv were in the Def Generation outfit, they were moonlighting also with the Young Olympia Brass Band.
Mm-hmm.
And what occurred was we just had this vibe and this urge to still do our own form of music. You have to remember, with Olympia, it's really tradition. You have to play the traditional music. You have to respect the tradition. You have to wear uniforms.
Mm-hmm. Hats,
the whole works.
Yeah, like you see those older cats do back in the days.
Sure.
So we had this other vibe where we wanted to play more assertive, more aggressive, upbeat music. So Milton Batiste, who was grooming us as the Young Olympians, said, look, if y'all want to do that other thing, man, go ahead and do it. Just make it professional and by the way, what's going to be your name? So we didn't have a name when right. we were doing the other mm-hmm. music.
Right.
We came up with a name, something like the A-Ball no, Brass.
We were thinking, but we at that time, we were doing gigs with the Neville Brothers.
Yeah.
We were opening up for them. And so just hanging around playing for them when they came back from in the airport and all. And when Cyril heard us, he was like, whoa, wait a minute. You guys don't sound like a traditional band.
Right.
Y'all kind of funky. And y'all got soul, man. Y'all like the rebels of this tradition here, man, like the soul rebels. And that's how it happened.
And there was, and there comes the revolution, but it's still a kind of New Orleans revolution. I mean, the tracks on this album, Nothing But a Party, Shake Something, Get Freaky, We Rock the Party. This is New Orleans revolution. This is
party
Let's Have
music,
a Good
man.
Time.
Yeah.
It is terrific. I am joined tonight by Lamar LeBlanc and Derek Moss from the Soul Rebels out of New Orleans. Their new album is Revolution. When the Mardi Gras kicks off next week in New Orleans, you can better believe that the music will be all over. It's got the hip-hop string running real big through a very deep traditional bass of New Orleans sound. Let's listen to a little bit of it. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Most times we rock you, this is the beat, moving the nation. Ladies, we got you, making you hot. Let me take you to the top. Feels like the rebels,
only the rebels.
Feels like the rebels,
it must be the rebels.
Feels like the rebels,
only the rebels.
Feels like the rebels.
Any given night, any club, we can rock, we can block. Into the spot, no worries about a fight. With the rebels, everything's gonna be alright. Can everybody calm and chill, but still give a thrill. Cause what we feel and what you feel is real. Bring a towel, not for the second line, not for the
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight with the Soul Rebels.
When in life you have the opportunity, you must... When in life you have the opportunity, yes, you must
They are all kinds of New Orleans funk and jazz tradition and big brass band going on, and right through it, as you hear very strong right here, the hip-hop new thing woven straight in. I'm joined tonight by two of the founders of Soul Rebels, Lamar LeBlanc and Derek Moss. Their new album is Revolution. They join me from New Orleans. So here it is. Now we're way off the traditional reservation, Lamar and Derek. Describe to us, what's the base of your band, and what have you added here for this sound?
Well, for this particular album, we wanted to come full circle. We wanted to bring it as far out to the limits of music that we could. We added turntables. We added some tracks done with keyboards like the Triton keyboard and different things like that. We added some vocalists. We had the guy that you're hearing actually on Change My Life. That's a guy actually doing the beatbox with his mouth.
Scratch. That's right. Scratch from the Roots.
Okay, right, right.
Yeah. We also added some poetry by Madam X. We had Bill Summers on percussion and Michael Woods on percussion. We had guitars on the album. We had, Corey Harris on playing the lead guitar on the reggae track.
We'll hear some of that. The great Afro blues guitarist, Corey Harris.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man, he's awesome. We also had William Terry. He played the bass guitar on the album.
And saxophone on some cuts.
Yeah.
Now, Josh Roseman, trombonist.
Right. And all of that sitting on top, give us your core instrumentation. Lamar, your snare drums.
Right, I play the snare drum and the cymbal. Derek plays bass drum with assortment of all type of percussion. He plays cymbal, timbales, or congas.
Yeah, we're the drum section.
Yeah,
Lamar and I are the drum.
The backbone.
Yeah.
Yeah, the back part.
Along with the tuba, Damien Francois, he's the third guy. That's the only original guys from the beginning.
And what a tuba that is. We'll hear more of that tonight. I'm just crazy about the way he comes stabbing in there with that tuba.
Oh, yeah. He's a wild man.
And we'll hear more of that. It's just terrific. So there's the heart of it. Now, you've added a lot on this time, but you've got trumpet in there, trombone, saxophone, and then right on through the guitar and everything else.
The other members,
yes, sir.
You know, Tanner Williams on trumpet. Mm-hmm. He also sings lead vocals. Marcus Hubbard on the other trumpet. We have Winston Turner on trombone. We have on saxophone, as Derek said, we have William Terry, Alan Dejean. He did a few tracks.
Mm-hmm.
On saxophone. That's our basic instrumentation.
It's just terrific. You said that you got some pushback from the traditionalists, the defenders of tradition, when you started doing this. Now, on this album, you're way out there. How do you know when the New Orleans traditionalists don't like what you're doing? How do you get the message?
Well, when they not come out to see you or don't want you around, or you hear them talking about you behind your back, you know, like, where these cats come from, what they trying to do, they messing up the tradition, that's not what we do, what is that, you know? And of course, through history, you know, people fear what they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it was all about. And after about 8 years or so, they realized that there's no sense in trying to push us away because we're here to stay.
So rebels are not going anywhere.
That's right. If you can't beat them, join them.
I'm reading here from Dr. John, of course, a great interpreter of New Orleans musical tradition. And in the liner notes for his Going Back to New Orleans album, Grammy winner, he said, New Orleans music was not invented. It just kind of grew up naturally, joyously, just for fun. I've got to hear your music as part of that growing on us.
Yeah, definitely. And, like I said, it basically was an expression of our generation of hip-hop, our generation of rhythm and blues, you know, that urban music that kind of exploded into the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess for us, it just kind of grew. It just kind of emerged on. It wasn't anything planned. We were just really being ourselves.
Right,
so
right.
Rebels.
And it just emerged into what it is. And this project actually surpassed where we thought we would be with it. We're very satisfied with it and proud of it.
You should be. It's a great sound. I want to get a sense of the arc you've been traveling. Let's go back to your 1994 debut CD, Let Your Mind Be Free. Here's the title track. And this is an old second line standard. Let's hear it. Soul Rebels, 1994, Let Your Mind Be Free.
This is an original by the Soul Rebels brass band called Let Your Mind Be Free. When we speak of Let Your Mind Be Free, first we talk about racial discrimination. Black, white, red, brown, yellow, doesn't matter what color you are, because we are under the same Lord, and we bleed the same color blood red. We talk about world peace, helping our brothers and sisters in South Africa, in Bosnia, Haiti, over in Japan, Northern Iraq, Northern Vietnam, South Vietnam, over in Germany, Brazil, Russia. We're talking about here home in Washington, in Dallas, Seattle, Miami, Detroit, New Orleans, Los Angeles. We're talking about Pittsburgh. We're talking about everywhere in the United States, the St. Thomas, the Magnolia, the Calliope, the Iowaville, the Feet, the St. Bernard, the Florida, the Zive, the Fisher. Let your mind be free. Stop the killing. Stop the killing. Stop the killing. Stop the
Soul Rebels from 1994, not such an old standard, but certainly a standard by now. A second line, Let Your Mind Be Free. Derek Moss, I wish you'd take us further into this second line tradition. Lots of people who don't know New Orleans well will not really understand how it worked, how it works today. You've got a funeral, and what happens musically? Where do you get to the second line?
Well, after the body comes out of the church. We separate the band and let the body pass through, and we play what we call a dirge, the slow movement And then
and this is old time hymn, closer walk with thee, or kind
yeah,
of hymns.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the traditional
kind of dirt, well, the traditional send off.
Yeah, it's the traditional, okay. Yeah, it's the traditional spiritual mm-hmm. side, you know.
So first comes the slow march, and then right. When does it turn to the second line? What does that mean?
Once the body starts to move, normally on a carriage, a horse-driven carriage, mm-hmm. And once the body is starting to move up the street, then we will take that slow dirge and speed up the beat. And then everybody just starts to dance and let it go. You know, they're crying at first, and then 5 minutes later, they're rolling on the ground in the street.
It's family jumping. And friends, and then it's a yes. public party.
Yes, yes.
And out of that comes second line and a whole lot of tremendous
well,
music that you've added to.
The second liners, as Milton and Harold Desjardins told us, were the people who follow the brass band. They're like the second line no. of people mm-hmm. who are behind the band.
And the band is the first line.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the second liners got to be, I guess, in history, so big and so important and so moving that they actually begin to take on a life of their own, because what happens is you get people from all over who are not even involved in the funeral procession, mm-hmm. who don't even kin to mm-hmm. the individuals who died or their families, who just come and join in on the parade.
And does this still happen today? Is it still going on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a strong tradition.
It'll probably be here forever.
Yeah, it'll probably be here forever.
That's a great New Orleans picture.
Only in New Orleans.
Only in New Orleans. Now we want to roll forward and get into the heart of this new album, Revolution. You've got a really interesting track in the middle of this, Spend Some Time, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of spoken word. We're not going to hear every bit of it here, but what you come around to finally is a local, I guess, New Orleans spoken word artist, Rhodesia, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Madam X on your album. Mm-hmm. Let's get a taste of this. Spend Some Time from Revolution.
You know the man that can spot me from across the room, get intoxicated by my perfume, who's not ashamed to show me to the world by escorting me on his arm like his prom girl. Yeah. You know the kind that sits in your living room and holds your hand, 'cause he's not interested in the one night stand. A man that caresses you all in the right places and kisses you all in the wrong places. A man that is so smooth, I can feel your rhythm whenever you move. The kind that makes good love to me 2-3 times a night and still rolls over and hugs me tight. Yeah, that's what I like.
Spend Some Time from Soul Rebel's new album, Rebel Revolution. And you can hear that kind of cha-cha going on there.
Oh, yeah.
And
remember,
then...
Bill Summers is on percussion now.
Okay, then we're not surprised. And in she comes with a kind of gently delivered, almost like slam poetry here.
Yeah, it was done right on the spot. I mean, the tune was more or less comprised by Winston Turner. And it was just music at first, music and percussions. So he came up with the idea of doing some poetry. So myself and Rhodesia, being that we're into poetry and rap and, you know, just into that kind of vibe, she put together something on the spot. I put something together on the spot. And we just put it on the disc, and it came out right.
It's got a great sound to it. The critic, Bunny Matthews, said, the revolution will not be televised. It'll be between the sheets with a sousaphonist blowing funk just outside your bedroom in the street.
Yeah,
and we can surely hear that.
That sounds good.
Bunny Matthews.
Yeah. And she looks as good as she sounds.
Well, yeah. She sounds pretty fine.
She is.
I want to cycle back just for a moment here, sure. Again, to the roots of this. And how you each got pulled in to the musical life. It's been said that in some parts of the South, maybe your part, it's almost it's a bigger deal to be the musician than to be the athlete sometimes with the marching bands and,
oh, yeah.
and the drum majors
yes.
and
yes.
all that. How early on did you know you wanted to get into that world? And what was it? Was that the way to get the girls? Was that where the action was?
Well, it was a natural thing. I believe for all of us, I was actually beating on things before I could walk. pots and pans with the spoons. I would go under the sink and pull out everything mm-hmm. and make me a set and just bang. And my first drums I got was some little bongo drums, and I had been begging for drums all my life. So yeah. my mom told me she knew I was always going to be playing drums. Yeah.
And Lamar, same with you?
Same with myself. I was brought up in the Treme area at home, a little infant, a child, and I was beating, taking two pots, covers together, playing them like cymbals. And I got some other pots, turned them over. My mom said it would beat on them like they were drums. So they had a little kindergarten play. And my mom said I was on stage playing the bongos. I remember it. You know, I remember it vaguely, and I remember the bongos. But she said, I always knew you would play drums. She said it was remarkable how at a young age you could hold a beat so steady. And I'm sure the same for Derek. We're excellent with time and with rhythm. So it's just a natural thing. We were probably born and destined to do this.
And let me ask you, you come from a city with such a potent musical tradition.
Yeah.
It's a great blessing of riches in many mm-hmm. ways. I wonder if it ever feels confining on the other hand. I mean, if you're from other cities, you're musicians. If you're from New Orleans, you're a New Orleans musician. And does that feel freeing or confining or both?
It's not confining to me. It's actually freeing. I see that we think different from other musicians. We don't set boundaries, or we just don't have them. I let it go where it wants to go. And when we do shows, we don't have set lists most of the time. We just get up there and say, check out the crowd, check out the vibe. Okay, people say, what you got? Where we want to start? we start it and then let it progress.
Yeah.
Depending on the crowd and the movement, what tunes we play next.
Right.
So we kind of just let it flow, but having that jazz aspect is what enables us to do that. A lot of people that's not from here are not used to going from song to song, mixing one beat to another beat, mm-hmm. or going from one tempo to another tempo without a break in it. And we've been doing that for so long, it's like automatic now.
You've toured a lot, but you got a regular gig in New Orleans. Where do you play? Who do you play for?
We play at the Le Bon Temps Roulet in New Orleans. It's a club on Magazine Street. It's a popular musical club. We kind of turned it out and made Wednesday night the hot night around the city to be in. We just kind of took over. We used to be on Thursday, but they shut that down, and they just let us do the Wednesday night house party, as we call it, the Soul Rebel Wednesday night house party, and we turn it out. We play other places.
Over town, all the major clubs,
sure.
Tipitina's, House of Blues, and mm-hmm. But, you know, those are not on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's your regular.
Yeah. Right.
And when you play, when you look out at the audience, who's there? I remember years ago in the spring, my family used to, my father would pile us all in the car, and we'd head down, we'd drive all night, get down to New Orleans early in the morning, and, you know, go down to the morning call. I don't know if that's still there anymore. I don't think so.
I don't know. It might. I don't think so, but all kind of people.
When nighttime came, he would get us down to the Preservation Hall, and we mm-hmm. would just dance our brains out. It was a tiny little hall, and the musicians
right.
were very old men. They were fine. Not all of them, but a number of them were, and we would just dance and dance. But is that who you play for, or is it a New Orleans local crowd?
Oh, we have a really different crowd from the Preservation Hall, which some of those people may be there too, but we have all ages, all races.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter, because we just want our music to make you move. Once it gets inside of you, it really doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. We just want to make you feel us.
We're going to go out of this section hearing Rebel Revolution. This is the one where you've got the Corey Harris, the Afro Blues guitarist, featured here. Tell us about this song.
Well, this song here, we always put a reggae song on the album. We're Soul Rebels. We know where the name comes from a Bob Marley songs, so we always pay homage to the roots, to the reggae vibe, and we always put a reggae tune on the album. So we got together and came up with a funky bass line. But when we made the song, we wanted it to exemplify peace and unity, but yet revolution. Not revolution in the sense of like H. Rap Brown or Lee Harvey Oswald, all the people like that, even though, you know, we know that's part of history, but more or less a musical revolution. You know, having the music being played by a brass band, but sounding like a orchestrated, magnificent unit of strings and guitars and all this. So we really thought that this was the piece that could exemplify, you know, that type of expression.
Well, it takes us to a great place. We're going to hear it. This is Revolution from Revolution, the Soul Rebels' new album out of New Orleans. I'm talking tonight with Lamar, Big Cheeky, LeBlanc, and Derek Oops Moss. They're with me from New Orleans. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Hang with us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight with Lamar LeBlanc and Derek Moss, two founders of Soul Rebels. Their new album is Revolution. Here's Intro.
Live and direct from the world stage, it's the Soul Rebels. Don't be alarmed. The game has changed. We about making music by any means necessary. So let me introduce y'all to the participants on this masterpiece. On trumpet, Mr. Tannen Fish Williams. Yeah, yeah. On the other trumpet, Mr. Marcus Red Hubbard. Moving right along, Mr. Rhythm Tracks himself on the trombone, Mr. Winston Turner. Yeah, yeah. Moving on to the bass guitar and tenor saxophone, we have Mr. William Terry. Rolling down the bottom.
The game has changed, and they're making their music by any means necessary.
That's right.
Derek Moss, let me ask you about hip-hop. You and Lamar both said you grew up with it. You're kind of hip-hop babies. And here we've got the New Orleans says you guys are hip-hop sensibility plus 100 years of New Orleans jazz tradition. But this is a much richer sound than we get in most mainstream hip-hop. You've got all that brass and percussion going on back there. Do you enjoy more ordinary hip-hop, or is it too flat for you?
Well, I'm now the oldest guy in the band. So I grew up in the 70s and 80s and listening to Earth, Wind & Fire, Maze, the real bands with real horns.
Yeah.
And the younger guys, Winston and Tannen and Marcus, are really the hip-hop guys in the group.
Right.
Lamar and I are still from the old school era, which is more soul and pop, you know, Michael Jackson era, you know.
So how does that conversation go? Do you ever have run-ins with the younger guys where they want to get even a harder edge hip hop on it, or is it a natural blend you've got going?
It's a natural blend. We don't have any problems because the instrumentation that we have kind of predicts where we head with it. We could basically play any kind of music, any song. It doesn't really matter.
And when it comes to vocalizing the hip hop, do you and Lamar do that, or is that for the young set?
Well, myself, I'm big on rap music. I love rap music ever since I heard Sugar Hill Gang, Grandmaster Flash.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know hip hop is just an extension of
old school.
Brought up to date from the streets.
Yeah.
So the Earth, Wind, and Fire element and all that is in there. But a lot of the hip-hop vibe started with myself back in the early days. The first piece, I want to just say that, you went back, man, you brought some memories when you played that Let Your Mind Be Free.
I bet. Yeah.
But on that first piece, that was probably the time of the little tension.
Yeah.
When you say, was it a natural merging or whatever? Because the some of the band members, like Byron Bernard, who was also was an original member, they might he wanted to do some new stuff, but they still wanted to have a lot of the funk second line, traditional second line. And myself and Derek were coming along with the hip hop, and I wanted to do rap.
Yeah,
I really wanted to be a rapper. I wanted to get on the CD and actually do some rapping.
Yeah.
So they were like, man, they're how are you going to put...
Scratching their head, right.
Yeah, they're like, okay, well, Def Generation did it, but we're a real brass band. How are you going to do that? So like Derek always says, look, man, there's no limits to what my mind can do.
Right.
Put it on there. So they gave me the chance to rap, and that's really how the rap portion got started in the band, heavy.
And off it went. Let me ask you about something we had on the show, I don't know, a week ago or so. Stanley Crouch, he's an essayist. He writes a lot about culture, and he came down real hard in his latest book on the kind of raunchy, sexually explicit side of hip-hop. Maybe that's more than a side these days. Of course, it's gotten more and more that way. But you're from a city that's never been afraid of being raunchy and sexually explicit.
No, not at all.
So how do you hear that? Do you hear it as offensive? Do you hear it as a natural extension of a Mardi Gras parade? Is it beyond that? Now, how do you look at the really rough side of the language there?
Yeah, well, we do the hip-hop stuff, but as we learned from our last album, that, you know, the guys were kind of gung-ho about going full-scale hip-hop, putting the lyrics on there that wasn't so family oriented, and I'm glad we got that out of our system on the last project.
Right.
So this thing now, from now on, we want to create music that even if it's rap or hip hop or whatever it is, it'll be something you can play at home.
Play it at home and enjoy it. Here's Hey There Baby from Soul Rebel's new album, Revolution. Baby, and we heard just a little bit of Damien Francois' tuba. Now, is that a tuba or a sousaphone?
It's a sousaphone, but it's easy to just say tuba.
Yeah, no, tuba is easy, and it's such a big, powerful presence.
Yeah, the bass drum and the tuba work hand in hand.
Okay.
Because they're both on the bottom, on that bass, and that snare drum is in between us, filling in that space. You know, that back row has to work like a well-oiled unit. And that's the reason the Soul Rebels are still here, because we have the original back row rhythm section. We have a totally different front row of horns from the original guys. But the reason the band is still, we didn't lose anything over the years because we have the rhythm section together. And a lot of these other bands were swapping guys every other month or weeks, playing with different people. You can't really build anything like that.
You've got your back line intact. I have to say, I love listening to this. I'd love to see you perform, but I'd love to see Damien Francois, because just the sound of the way he's punching that tuba.
Oh, yeah.
Is he a puff-the-cheeks-out player or a keep-the-cheeks-in player?
Well, he's an in. He keeps them in, but on some of those whoops, they may come out a little bit.
I guess they'd have to. So next week, Mardi Gras begins. Does it take over your lives in New Orleans?
I don't think so. It don't take over, because it's been a part of our lives for all of our lives. It's a normal thing for us. And I guess from being around it all of our lives, I'm not trying to sound like it's not exciting or anything. It definitely is. It's a time that we work a lot and right. have, yeah, it's Mardi Gras and Jazz Fest is some good times for us.
I'm sure they are. And you don't have to worry. You're never going to convince the rest of us that it's not an exciting time. Everybody gets jealous in New Orleans when Mardi Gras comes around. It's been wonderful talking with the two of you tonight. And I want to thank you very much for being with us. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I hope it was fun.
Lamar LeBlanc, snare drummer and founding member of Soul Rebels, and Derek Moss, bass drummer and founding member. You can hear Damien going on that tuba in the background there. Their new album is Revolution. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll go out with Olympia Special from Revolution, the Soul Rebel.
Get up out of your seat. Get up out of your seat.
In a moment, I'll be joined by On Point News analyst Jack Beatty. First, let's listen back to the sounds of this past week.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
We must pass reforms that solve the financial problems of Social Security once and for all. Fixing Social Security permanently will require an open, candid review of the options.
Democrats are all for giving Americans more a say and more choices when it comes to their retirement savings, but that doesn't mean taking Social Security's guarantee and gambling with it. And that's coming from a senator who represents Las Vegas.
This will be our first step toward joining the free world and being a democracy that Iraqis will be proud of.
Judge Gonzalez is eminently qualified to serve as our nation's top law enforcement officer. He is an outstanding candidate who deserves our strong support.
We cannot live in liberty without security, but we would not want to live in security without liberty.
There are plenty of diplomatic means at our disposal to get the Iranians to finally live up to their international obligations.
You go into Afghanistan, you got guys who slapped women around for 5 years because they didn't wear a veil. You know, guys like that ain't got no manhood left anyway, so it's a hell of a lot of fun to shoot them.
During the night, the Holy Father rested for several hours. I might add that when I was leaving the room in which the Holy Father is staying at, the personal secretary of the Holy Father was celebrating the Mass, and the Holy Father, from his bed, was concelebrating the Holy Mass with him.
The most disturbing finding is the accumulation of evidence that the director of the Office of the Iraq Program, Mr. Benon Zevon, in fact, did repeatedly solicit oil allocations for a small trading company called AMAP.
And there's a week. President Bush pushes for Social Security reform in his State of the Union address. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid pushes back with the Democrats' rebuttal. Iraqis go to the polls to elect a transitional assembly that will draft a new Iraqi constitution. Alberto Gonzalez is confirmed as the nation's first Hispanic attorney general over substantial opposition. Homeland Security Chief nominee Michael Chertoff faces confirmation hearings. Condoleezza Rice makes her first overseas trip as Secretary of State and says that an attack on Iran is not on the White House agenda at this point. Marine Lieutenant General James Mattis comes under fire for saying it's fun to shoot some people. Pope John Paul II is hospitalized with the flu, and an investigation headed up by former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker finds plenty of blame to go around for the failure of the UN's Oil for Food program. Jack Beatty, a life in our times there.
Life in our times, and I really think in that State of the Union speech, we had little moments that were really about that will shape the history of our times. One, the most moving moment of the whole speech was when the Iraqi woman who had voted just earlier in the week turned and embraced the family of a Marine killed in Iraq, that she could vote, that Iraq could have a better life.
These women seated next to and behind First Lady Laura Bush, and it brought the House chambers to their feet in very long applause. Moving moment.
Moving moment, and of course that's what justifies this sacrifice, if these people can have a better life. But the questions remain, is the election going to be the vehicle of that, or rather, will it further the splitting up of the country along ethnic and sectarian lines? We don't know.
Deeply moving moment, though. The younger woman who had lost her father to Saddam Hussein, the older woman who had, from Texas, the mother of the Marine who had lost her son to this effort, and that final scene of the son's dog tags tangled up in the Iraqi woman's sleeve, and you think, what is the symbol here? We don't know.
Just as we are tangled up in Iraq, and the president's, the judgment on the president will depend upon what Americans think about that embrace and how long that will seem to be a worthwhile exchange, the life of many. For her vote. And again, we don't know what the vote is going to do.
But this week, against the backdrop of the elections, a lot of people willing to look up and see something positive going on right there.
Oh, yes. Again, this is the ideal, a better life for these people. And I think everybody has to hope that. And the question is, how are we going to get there?
And Social Security also on the terrain of the President's State of the Union address, Jack.
Also right there in the woman who did not stand up. There were four Republicans who were hesitant, who slowly stood up.
When the president called for
privatization. Mm-hmm. But there was one who sat down, who didn't stand up, and that's Olympia Snow of Maine. Two Democrats stood up, Joe Lieberman of Connecticut and Ben Nelson of Nebraska. Yeah. And, you know, you could imagine a scenario where the Democrats lose six votes and they can't sustain their filibuster. And one person from the opposition can sustain the filibuster that kills this major, this historic venture for George W. Bush. That person, Olympia Snow of Maine.
Republican. Potentially. We don't know if she would do that, but she could. And, man, the pressure that would be brought to bear.
Oh, my gosh. And she would be the Edmund Ross of that vote. Edmund Ross, of course, the character who profiled by John F. Kennedy in Profiles in Courage, the Kansas Republican senator who voted against the conviction of Andrew Johnson in 1868 and keeping Johnson in office. Now, I mean, if you're Karl Rove right now and you see that the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard is
in Maine,
in Maine or right on the border, you see the Bath Iron Works and, of course, the
in Maine.
Bases, these things are up for closure. Mm-hmm. What do you suppose the pressures that are already being exerted on Olympia Snow to stand up, and will she stand up? And then there are two votes. She could vote against the idea. You know, I don't like privatization of Social Security, but then say, but I really am against a filibuster. A filibuster is just such a, you know, dastardly tactic. Mm. So she could have it both ways, perhaps that way.
But quite an interesting week to see how the issue's beginning to shake out with more clarity. The president pushing for personal retirement accounts, but that's not going to bring solvency. We're still waiting for the other shoe to drop here. That's sort of the political side of the equation. Everyone, even his own briefers now, conceding there are benefit cuts somewhere down there. If anything's going to bring solvency, that would be required.
Yes, and Jim McCrary, the Republican from Louisiana, going further and saying that the privatization would actually further the solvency problem of Social Security. That's quite an admission.
Well, we've got a front row seat on a huge national debate with implications for decades. Jack, thanks for being with us this week.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.